Rosebuds Nation, Eddie Rage in the house. We got Lynn.
Hello.
Men Tell All, Juicy Gossip. Yeah. We got our boy Chris Staples from the show, who dunked on Becca, who hit him with a dodgeball. He called us from a shopping mall, so we helped him pick out some items. Great interview. Really funny guy. Glad we got to see him.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll be seeing more of him in the future. Your thoughts real quick on Men Tell All before we get into
Men
the interview?
Men Tell All was good. You know, it was like kind of, it was a little bit more than steady. One of the biggest things I took out of Men Tell All was the full preview of Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh my God.
So hyped.
I'm hyped for it. The only thing like that would drive me crazy about Bachelor in Paradise is like no phone.
Yeah.
You got to interact with people. They limited the drinking. Like, are you even allowed to bring?
I can't wait to watch it though.
Are you allowed to bring books?
We know that the Boom Boom Room's back.
The Boom Boom Room is back. Do you see what I'm trying to do right here?
I do.
Did you just catch on to that?
No, oh. I'm still talking about
so
this.
After you get done a wild lovemaking session in the
Boom Boom Room.
In the Boom Boom Room, grab a book. Take a load off. I'm talking to you. Oh shit. Terrible. Fuck. Poor choice of words. This is gonna be great. We should just start the ad right now. But if like you get on the plane, you didn't get to finish a book, there's a little sand in it, got a little crab shit in it. You can get to your phone.
What the hell are you doing right now?
And hit up Audible to finish the book from the Boom Boom Room. Audibletrial.com/rosebuds, link in the bio. How's the book you're reading, Crazy Shopping Lady?
Crazy Rich Asians is great. I just need more time to read it, but I love it. And I need to listen to it in the car.
What? No. Into the mic.
I need to be better about remembering to use Audible in the car because that is how I can get it read.
You can use Audible. Yeah, you're right.
Well, for me, like in the car is where I get my biggest bang for my buck. Or like when I'm cleaning in the kitchen, I can have Alexa read it. That's great.
You're
too.
A big phone call in the car person, though.
Yes, I am.
You call everyone.
I'm like,
Jesus Christ.
I like, if I am like not on the phone in the car, I feel like I'm not multitasking.
I agree. Audibletrial.com/rosebuds, link in the bio. So Patty is at camp this week.
He is.
And you gave me some news that he doesn't want to play soccer this fall.
No.
What does he want to play?
He wants to play baseball.
In the fall?
Forever.
Forever?
Yes.
All right, Uncle Ed and Uncle Joey will like that. Uncle Mommy will like that.
Yep.
Does he have the equipment needed?
No, you know what? We need to go to MLB.com.
No, that's false. We need to go to MLBshop.com. We're getting fired. At MLBshop.com, hit the bang the link in our show notes. You get free shipping. All right.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd.
Free shipping with the link in our bio. Folks, you got to hit the link in our show notes.
How about them Phils?
How about them? If Patty went to a game, would he rather catch a hot dog from the Fanatic or a foul ball?
Oh, that's tough because Patty loves hot dogs.
Does he? You got to go ball.
I mean ball, classic.
Didn't I get him a ball? No, I got a ball. Hit up my Instagram. I got a ball.
Yeah.
But I was outfitted. I got my jersey on. I got my hat on. MLB
Shop. We need to get Patty some swag.
All right. MLBShop.com. Yeah, they got kids. They got adults. They got plus size. They got women's. The low cut these. They got all of it.
Oh, my God.
Free shipping on stuff over $29. You'll spend that on the hat.
They also have great tailgate gear.
They got everything. Everything. Link in the bio. I'm going to some Phillies games. We're going to do some tailgating. And we're going to have a good time.
Sounds lovely.
Should we get into our interview with Chris? Any parting words?
Next time we talk, we'll all know the outcome of the season.
All right. What are you predicting? Last 10 seconds.
Garrett,
I think. I think Blake's going to have a freaking meltdown.
Blake's going to lose it.
Chris?
I think he will lose it so much that he won't be able to be the Bachelor.
Hot take. Damn. Sound the alarm. Chris Harrison was quoted in Glamour that said something goes down that there haven't even been teasing yet.
Ooh.
Like something so giant goes down that they don't need to tease it, which I call BS. But Chris Harrison doesn't lie.
I mean.
He does.
I think
just
he does.
Just a little bit. All right.
But I am also Team Jason for Bachelor.
J- Jason's got it going on. Jason's got it going on. He's got the hair and he can mow my lawn.
Smooth guy.
He's
guy.
A smooth criminal.
Okay.
Is that Rob Santana?
No. Smooth criminal would be Michael Jackson.
No.
Yes.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
You're thinking of, that's not smooth criminal.
I think it
is. No. Every Bachelor Nation, anybody can tell me that I'm right. Smooth criminal is not Michael. Smooth criminal is Michael Jackson. Smooth is Santana.
Yeah. That's what I meant.
Yeah, they're not the same.
Got it. On me. Hand up. Hand up. Also, you're going
to
get
it. It's a good place to end it.
That is. But I want to tease this. Wait till you hear the story of Lynn and Tim's first interaction.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry, babe. I love you.
We got into the Chris Donald.
Poor Patty's
going to
hear this someday.
Someday. Love you guys. All right, Bachelor Nation, what's up? Eddie Rage and Lynn.
Is that my new name now?
That's your new name. Lynn. Welcome back. Mental All Juicy Gossip. We got the dirt, and we're going to get into it tonight with our guy. I'm going to try to come up with as many basketball puns as I can, but we're going to have a real slam dunk of a conversation tonight. Ladies and gentlemen.
Let's lay it up.
Ooh, that was a good one. That was a good one. From deep behind the arc, it is the one, the only Chris Staples joining us tonight.
Woo!
How you doing? How you doing?
What's going on? How are you?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. We're pumped to talk to you. You were at Mental All. You were on Becca's season. You're slam dunking all over the world. Former Globetrotter. You got everything going on. Follow him on Instagram at @everybody_hatechris, which is a lie. Just straight up lie.
I know. I want to hear the story behind that name.
Yeah. What's the deal with the Instagram handle?
I just like the show, actually. I mean, also, you know, there's always haters out there, so it's not bad to recognize the haters and, you know, have a good tag to go with it. It just kind of fits, like, with, you know, growing up and having things go on, you have people who say things that are discouraging, but, you know, you take that as motivation and build from that.
Love it. All right. I respect that.
Chris, are you from L.A., or where'd you grow up?
No, I'm actually from Michigan.
Okay.
And I've been there pretty much most of my life. I've been in L.A. for, like, the last 3 or 4 years.
All right.
I respect it. All right, we're going to get into your life and what you're doing and your time on The Bachelorette, but I think since it's hot in the streets right now, let's get right into Mental All. You were there. It was pretty dramatic last night. We had the Jordan BS going on. We had the John Block going on. So lay it down for us. You were at Mental All. What was the overall environment like, and how was it going when it taped, I guess, a couple weeks ago?
I mean, yeah, it was crazy, but it was still fun. You know, all the guys, they're cool. You know, I mean, it's a lot of TV stuff, you know, with guys taking jabs at each other. Jordan obviously started off very early. Colton started off pretty early as far as taking jabs at people. You know, I guess maybe there's a lot of built-up tension from the show and things that wasn't shown, because the Mental Law pretty much was, you know, after pretty much everyone's seen most of the episodes or all the episodes that they've been on. So maybe they wanted to get some stuff off their chest.
Did you feel that it was it went down as it was aired, or do you think they, you know, was there an edit? Was there a lot of stuff that wasn't shown? Give us the scoop.
Well, no, yeah. I mean, I feel like most stuff was shown, and I mean, it's a lot of people, and it's only a 2-hour show, you know, so it's hard to get every story and every single conversation out there. So I'm sure ABC did the best they could to edit as much as they could and show the most important parts. But, yeah, I mean, it's still stuff that obviously wasn't shown. Obviously, we had a lot of conversations that were happening in the house that they really weren't going to, you know, they're really not going to show everything that happened. So, yeah, the guys, they pretty much knew each other more than anyone else.
I hear you. That makes sense. What was the John Blanc situation? Like, what was that about with Colton?
I know, it was annoying.
I mean, I guess, you know, I mean, everyone was pretty upset about what happened with John Blanc. You know, he was a guy who, you know, he said he loved Becca or he was falling for Becca, then he ended up taking it back. And so everyone was kind of, it was a bitter taste in everyone's mouth because that night Becca decided not to give a rose out. So everyone felt some type of way towards him in that way, because now it kind of messed up her trust where guys are really building and connecting it. All those times and those moments you have with Becca are very vital, and for him to do something like that made her take a step back. So a lot of guys had a lot of stuff to say about John Blanc about that, you know, but I think it was great of him to, you know, come on the show and just apologize, go go right on stage, look her in the eye, and say he's sorry for what he did. You know, it was a mistake. So, I salute to him.
Yeah, but what about the comment that the crude comment he made to Colton last night?
Oh, with John Block?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seemed like that was pretty scripted. Like he had that ready to go just in case Colton said something. Like I didn't see that coming. I was actually shocked that he said that. I think that obviously took a step back for him because I mean, how are you gonna say something like that? Then you know, go and apologize to her for that. You know, so I don't know. I don't really have anything to say about that. I wasn't really, you know, no comment on that. I guess you know that was kind of messed up.
Yep. I hear you. The Jordan. Okay, so what's the deal, Jordan? Like, he knows what he's doing. He's obviously funny. He has some pretty good one-liners. But is that how he was in the house, or is there a TV Jordan and like a regular Jordan?
The funny thing about that is Jordan is exactly like that off camera, like that. And so people they came down on him a lot, but you know, off camera he was the same. I actually used to laugh a lot about him because I'm like, wow, like you really like this outside. You know, outside of the show. So, but yeah, that's his personality. He was funny. You know, guys, they had a problem with it. But, you know, like I said, even on the men's law, I'm like, well, Becca was the one giving him roses. So don't get upset at Jordan for how he entertains or how he may portray himself in the house. Because one, Becca doesn't live in the house. So she's not hearing all the stuff all the antics that happen. You know, but when he's with Becca, she even said that stuff. She enjoyed herself with him. He was one of a kind, and you know, he made her laugh, and I think that was important. And that's probably why he stayed for a while.
It's a good point.
Good point.
Yeah.
So the beef between him and David, that was legit, or was that played up a little bit for TV?
No, I think that was legit. That was a legit beef. Like if anyone in the house had beef, it was those two. You know, David, I mean, Jordan was himself, and I felt like David, you know, although a nice guy, he focused too much on David. I mean, he focused too much on Jordan, and it actually just took a lot of energy out of the room because every time he spoke, it was about Jordan, you know. And it was like, well, who are you? Because the only thing we hear from you is Jordan's name coming out of your mouth. So, but those two were butting heads from like night one, and it just didn't stop.
That's terrific. I love that. You just have two people that no matter what, they will never get along. They'll never agree with each other. It makes for terrific reality television. I respect that. Was the last question on my end, Lynn, then you can jump in. Was the Jordan and the other random night one eliminate-y model Christian fight, like, was that weird as it appeared on TV?
It was even more weird in person. Just as much as it was on TV. Like, wait. I was actually just looking around confused. Like, what's going on here? Like, what is this show about? You know, that's what I was thinking. And they were really arguing about being a model and who dressed better up. I really was confused on that. But I don't know what that was about. I didn't even know who the guy was, actually, to be honest. You know, the guy he was like a night one guy who left. So I didn't even know who he was. And, yeah, that was pretty awkward. Jordan pretty much made that show. He made that his own show, the tell-all. Pretty much about him.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you, Jordan's a good player of the game. He knows exactly what the hell he's doing. I think he's going to do phenomenal on Paradise, which I can't wait for.
That's
his environment. I'm looking forward to Paradise.
Absolutely.
I am so excited for Paradise. So, Chris, who were you close with in the house?
In the house, I mean, I was pretty much cool with everyone. I didn't have any type of beef, but I mean, if I can say who I was, you know, who I talked to the most would probably be Wills, Blake, Garrett. Those guys were pretty cool. But everyone in the house was cool, but those were the ones I pretty much stayed around the most. My roommates were Chris R., Connor, Wills, and Nick.
Okay. So that's a good lineup of guys. So so it sounds like you knew Blake and Garrett. You know, that's obviously the final two it's down to. Are you team Blake or team Garrett?
That's hard. That's a hard one. But you know what? I was not surprised to see those two at the stage of the game because I felt like they, you know, with Garrett having the first impression, I felt like he was going to go far. And it just seemed like from night one that Blake was really, you know, really into Becca. And throughout all his dates, his interviews, it shows that he was really falling in love with her early. And, you know, the feelings just continued to grow. So it's hard to say which one I think Becca's gonna choose, but we'll see where it goes. Coming
do
out
you
there.
Do you know anything yeah, do about you know? It?
Do I know anything about it?
Yeah, what's gonna go down next week?
I don't know. I'm curious to see how the final episode is gonna be, because you know, you've been seeing in the last few episodes that Blake's really been in his head. And, well, you know, he's been, like, even more emotional than he's usually been. So, and what I told someone yesterday, I'm like, well, you know, at this stage, you're like, well, as much as he's showing how much he loves her, the other guy has to be doing the same thing, because mm-hmm. they're in the top two. And for her to give, like, as much as he told her he loves her, she gives Garrett, you know, the rose first before the last episode. So you're like, hey. He's playing the game as well, so I'm pretty sure he's going to say everything, and questioning everything he says to her.
Yeah, I think, you know, you brought up a really good point. I've always thought about that, Chris. I really feel like there has to be meaning to the rose order. That's a question we have to put in our back pocket, Eddie.
What?
I think that too. At first I didn't. We used to question it. We get so far in our head, like when you're sitting at the house and you're thinking about the night after the rose ceremony, you're like, well, when did I get my rose? Does that first rose of the night mean something? Does the last rose mean you're on, like, the cutoff line? Like, you know, you think
watch
so
out.
Much, but I definitely start to think, like, you know, even though I'm not there, but you think the less people that are there, the more the rose means. Like, you know, the order, I guess. You know, when it's only three guys or two guys left, and who she decides to give the rose to first, that kind of makes a difference, I believe. Like, that's the first person in your mind. And it's only two of us or three of us here, so.
Yeah, you actually brought up the point I was going to make. I think when you get later in the game, the order has a little more significance than in the beginning. Because in the beginning, a couple rounds, it's probably like, oh, shit, you know, this guy, that guy. Also, we have learned through interviewing various people from the show that the order is sometimes manipulated and edited. So. Yeah. Got to bring that into the play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think too far into it when I was there. Like, 15 guys, you know, like, I'm not sure if you've been 15 guys in order. That's pretty tough. But, you know, when you're down to the top six and five, you're like, okay, yeah, these mean more.
So were you surprised to see Jason go home last week?
You said Jason? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it sounds like you were expecting, you said you're not surprised to see Garrett and Blake in the final two, so were you kind of expecting Jason to go home last week?
Oh, yeah, I mean, if I had to expect someone to go home, it would have been Jason. I mean, he was great stand-up guy the entire time, but, I mean, even from just watching the playback of the season, you can tell how close Becca was with Garrett and Blake the entire season. I think Garrett probably had one setback, you know, where she said she didn't feel like they had a good connection one night, but Blake's been, he's been like the front runner the whole way through with her, at least. You know, she said she's been on the same wavelength and things like that with him. So, you know, and then with Jason, I mean, he kind of came out of in nowhere because she didn't know his name at first and she was kind of getting to know him and,
then he
you know,
kissed
and
her.
Had a couple good dates. Yeah, exactly. He kissed her, then everything changed.
All right, so you have an inside scoop to all the guys. I have a two-part question. Who do you think is going to be the next Bachelor, and who do you want to be the next Bachelor?
Good question.
That's a good question. Who do I think is going to be the next Bachelor? I think we have to wait on the last episode to see how that plays out, because that can make a big difference.
Okay.
Yeah, because we haven't really seen too much. Well, we haven't heard from Blake or Garrett, so you don't know how that's going to play out, and that could make a big difference. Because America does choose it, so you can see maybe how the episode goes. But if I was to choose right now, not going off the next episode, I would say Jason's probably a front runner. Yeah, I mean, he was pretty much at the mental law. They were loving him. He had great answers. And he didn't leave, like, a bad taste in Becca's mouth. Like, when he left, like, you know, he left, and he was, you know, it was more, Becca felt more upset about, you know, cutting him. Not that he did anything wrong, you know? And so, yeah, I think he would be, like, a front runner for it.
So how about who do you want to be the next
guy? It'll be Blake, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't, you know, if he doesn't win, I think I would say Blake, just because I felt like he was a pretty cool guy the entire time.
What about the homie, Grocery Store Joe? I think he can make it.
Yeah, you know, you never know. I mean, but he was a guy who forgot what he was going to say. Like, I mean, he caught America's eye and everything with, you know, I think with the picture that went, that surfaced around him walking into Becca after the show. But that was, yeah, he was a pretty cool guy, too. You just never know.
I heard rumors of Wills.
Say, yeah, that was not the first thing I would say. That wouldn't have been my first choice.
Right.
I've heard rumors of Wills, too.
Yeah, see, but the one thing you have to think about, too, is what happens in Paradise. You know, so mm-hmm. some of the guys, I think that they kind of either ruin their, not saying ruin their chances, but they kind of take the chances down a little bit based on what happens in Paradise, because maybe Wills could be a possibility, but what if he goes to Paradise and he gets married or he gets engaged? So that would, you know,
got it.
The end of that happened. I haven't gone to Paradise, but you never know. For the guys who did go to Paradise, things will change.
Got
it. Maybe they don't want to, you know.
I hear you loud and clear. So you are boys with Wills, and you're making this quite the statement. So what happens to Wills in Paradise that you know about that you want to?
I actually don't know. I don't know anything about Paradise.
Okay.
I was going to go, but then ended up not going.
Oh, what happened there?
No, I mean, I had some family things going on, so I just decided not to go during that time.
I hear you. You might be the only guy from the season not there. I feel like everyone, they showed everyone.
I know when I was at the tell-all, they were saying the guys that were going to Paradise, I was pretty much most of the guys that were sitting on the stage with me.
They probably have a blast.
Oh, yeah.
But you never know what can happen. That's what we were discussing, because someone mentioned that to me. So it's not just me saying that. Someone mentioned it and said, you know what, things can happen in Paradise where it could take them away from being a bachelor. Maybe they leave Paradise a certain way, or maybe they go to Paradise and find true love. So
I hear you.
Sometimes that takes away from it.
They could also get the Nick Vial treatment, where he goes to Paradise and then has to dump the girl and then is announced as the next bachelor in the middle of the season. So you're right, Chris. You're onto it, man.
And I think, like, you know, the fact that, you know, when you're, like, in the top three, well, I don't know. I guess Jason, he didn't go to Paradise, so that would be a, you know, he left on really good terms. Colton did go to Paradise, and I hear that he is on Paradise as well, so that's, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how that turns out. But, you know, all that stuff could make a big difference on being the bachelor, I believe.
Nice little segue there into the Colton Tia situation. Did you guys talk about that in the house at all, or was it, like, overplayed on TV? What was that about?
It was talked about a little bit, only by Jordan for the most part. They've had, like, a lot of different, like, chats with it. But, you know, for the most part, Colton kept it very professional. He kept it very professional, so he didn't really talk about the house and bring it up, bring any type of attention to it. I think Jordan maybe just heard about it, maybe through one other person. And, I mean, for, like, Colton, like, he kept it professional, and he never brought that attention to it. So I never knew about it. Only maybe I heard, like, once or twice through someone else, but it wasn't, like, a topic.
So I have a question. Is there anybody in Bachelor Nation that you have your eye on?
And Bachelor, no, I actually never watched the season until this year.
Okay.
So I was super new to the whole experience. And, I mean, I think I'm a fan now, so I will be watching seasons to come. But I didn't know anyone, actually, from previous seasons.
So how did you get on the show?
Rachel, and I met a couple of other girls that were on the show before. But Rachel, just because I seen her on SportsCenter with First Take.
Yep.
And so I'm like, oh wow, they announced it a couple of times that she was the previous bachelorette.
So how did you get on this season?
I was actually nominated by my mother.
Oh, I love that.
I know, it's kind of weird, but I didn't know, and they gave me a call, and I just said, hey, what the heck, let's go for it.
So obviously, I'm sure she wished that things worked out better for you, but what did your mom think of the season? How's she liking it?
She liked it. You know, we both didn't know what to expect and, you know, how be portrayed on the show, but I think, you know, they did a great job. You know, I mean, I was myself, and I felt like I was myself on TV. Sometimes people actually, they watch themselves back and they're like, wow, did I really say that, or was I really looking like that during that time? But when I watched it and I didn't think twice about it. I was like, well, that's something I probably would have done, so I wasn't surprised. Yeah. But, like I said, the entire experience was great. You know, Becca, she's a really nice person, you know. But you guys just you have to know that it's 27 guys in the house, and the chances of her picking you is 1 in 27. So you just have to take your losses, you know, with that. So I wasn't, like, upset because we didn't get too far into our relationship where, you know, where I was falling for her in that sense, you know. It was like week 4 when I left, you know, versus, and I'm actually, you know, I say happy, but it's good that we didn't get to that point, because then you have that heartbreak loss, you know, like someone like Jason who made it to Thailand, and then now he has to go home and actually think about this breakup because of, he was thinking about a future with her and could actually see himself getting down on one knee, versus week 4, you're probably not thinking that. You're still getting to know the person.
Yeah, great point. You were like in the sweet spot where I made it far enough that I'm still relevant and I was on The Bachelorette and I'll get the Instagram followers and it will help me, yada, yada, yada. But yet you didn't fall in love with her and get too far with her that, oh shit, now I got my heart broken in front of millions. So I think you made it the perfect amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like I was looking forward to going home, but I was like in that mindset of like, well, you know what, like, I mean, it doesn't mean I don't have to, like, be in that spot where I have to be sad. Like you said, I was at the sweet spot.
I would imagine you're pretty... Yeah, no, I hear you. I would imagine, given you're obviously a very athletic guy, does, like, your athletic and competitive nature come out and it's like, oh, I don't want to go home. Like, I don't want to go home. Is it, like, does that come out at all?
You know what? I thought about that definitely, like, the first couple of episodes. Like, the first couple of roses, I thought about, oh, I don't want to go home. I can't go home now. It's so early, you know. And some guys played it like a game, like, oh, I can't go home before this guy or that guy. But you're not really thinking about the connection that that person may be making with her. In the house, you can seem like the better person with the group of guys. They're like, yeah, Chris is cool. This guy's not cool. But Becca doesn't live there. And it's about that one-on-one connection you have with her. So, regardless of how cool someone may seem in the house, if they're making a better impression on her in person, then that's what's going to dictate the rose. So, yeah, so my competitive nature did come out sometimes, but then the further we got along, the more you're like, all right, well, let's just focus on her, regardless of what happens or what someone says in the house.
Yeah, good point. All right, so let's talk about your time in the house. Let's start with your entrance. Were you nervous at all dunking on her? Obviously, it seems like that was like a no-brainer, to be honest, given your background and Harlem Globetrotters. But dude, you freaking killed it! Like, talk to me through that.
Thank you. At the beginning, I was very nervous. Like, I was like, "Oh man," because I had actually practiced with one of the producers before I went and talked to Becca. So I'm like, "Let's practice to make sure I can actually make this dunk." I'm in a tuxedo right now, and I never dunked before in a tuxedo, so let's try it. And I actually messed up the first time against the producer. I'm like, ah. And he's like, you sure you want to do it? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And so I was nervous. And when I actually went to go grab Becca and we went from the basketball room, when I was setting up, all the guys came out of the house and they were kind of like cheering me on a little bit. And that actually put me back into my comfort zone, being in front of a crowd, and all the nerves went away. And I made a dunk and I was good.
I said that exact thing when I was watching it live. I was like, oh, the guys are coming out. He can recreate the environment he's comfortable with. He's got the people cheering. This is it. He's going to crush it. My only thing, and you brought up, was the fact that you have to factor in the fact that you were dunking in a tuxedo.
Yeah.
You probably don't do you perform weddings? Like, when else do you dunk in a tuxedo?
I know. I was thinking maybe I get some wedding invites after this. But, yeah, that was the first. I thought, like, all right, well, I've never done it before in tuxedo. Hopefully I don't split my pants or anything. But it worked out, and I'm like, you know, I'm a professional at the slam dunking part. So, you know, first time for everything, and you know, I made it work.
I hear you. I have a question. It's a little bit out of order, but since we're on the part about the basketball and the dunking, and if you follow us on Instagram, at Rosebuds Podcast, you can see the picture I put up of Chris today on our IG story. How hard is it when you're teaching someone, like, what are the skills to balance a basketball on your finger, like when you spin it, because I can't do that shit for the life of me. But like, you know, like the Globetrotters do it all the time. They'll go up to little kids and they'll do it perfectly. What is the key when you're teaching someone to do that?
Well, I mean, when I first got on the Globetrotters, it was difficult. I didn't know how to do any of that at all. So all that stuff can be taught. You know, it's just hours in my room pretty much learning. And I mean, you can watch YouTube videos of these guys do it. But to actually do it, you really just have to have consistency and learn how to spin the ball. Before you spin on your finger, you know, you have to learn how to, you know, twirl the ball in the air first, you know, and catch it like an egg on your finger. And that's what someone taught me, like, catch it like an egg. Like, you don't want the egg to break. If I toss it up, you have to catch it a certain way. You have to do that same thing with the basketball. And, you know, every now and then you'll catch that spin.
Catch it like an egg. I like that. It's also like, you know, to get figurative and with the theme of The Bachelor, catch it like feelings. You don't want to catch it too hard because then you're done.
Oh, I like that. I like
Lynn,
that.
No reaction? You're on your goddamn phone. That was a good
she
one.
Didn't catch that.
No, she didn't catch it. There you go. There you go. All right, I want to get that was a little out of order, but I would have forgot that. So back to your time on the show. Again, we're talking to Chris Staples, Mr. Slamajama, which I can't wait to talk about. Get at him on Instagram. If you want to watch dunking videos while you're at work, just go to his Instagram at @everybody_hate. Chris with two S's. Dude, nailing Becca with the dodgeball. Tell me about it.
That's great.
Oh, yeah. I love that. You know, they didn't show that too much. I don't know why. But, yeah, when we played dodgeball that day, I was like, I knew I was going to hit her with the ball. I'm like, if no one hits her, I'm going to hit her. But it's dodgeball. They don't know that day, man. Those guys were, like, shooting dodgeballs out of machines at us.
Yeah, if you can.
And they were like hitting us. So I'm like, I can't wait till we actually get to play dodgeball and I get a chance to get my revenge. But it was fun. I mean, it's fun. At first, she was surprised because I was surprised actually because all the guys had lined up behind her thinking, all right, they're not going to throw the ball because she's in the front. And I'm like, no, I thought the total opposite. Like, I'm throwing the ball because she's right there. And, yeah, I was like, why would, if these are going to be your future guys that you're going to be with, like, why would they all stand behind you unless you get hit with the ball?
Yeah, you gotta give her some balls to the face, you know, every now and then.
That's how I looked at it.
There you go. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Right.
Just all the dodgeball.
I got that quote.
She enjoyed it. I talked to her later that day, and she was laughing about it, you know, this sport. It was fun.
I hear you.
I just heard a really cute noise in the background.
I'm sorry, I'm walking. I'm actually at the mall right now, grabbing something.
I was like, "Do you have somebody little with you?" Because that sounded adorable.
I was like, "Where's the children?"
I know.
Where's the kid?
No, it's cool. It's cool.
That's amazing.
What are you shopping for?
Yeah. What's in your cart? Show us your cart right now.
Right now I'm walking to Nordstrom. I'm actually walking inside the mall, and Well, I was actually looking for Lowe's because I'm trying to get some furniture stuff for my patio.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Gotcha. Right. Are you a big Nordstrom guy?
I'm a huge Nordstrom person. Yeah, it's the annual sale right now. You get some good deals.
I love, like, the place I live in L.A., and so, like, I just moved there right when we started airing The Bachelorette, so, like, I was still kind of getting my whole apartment together, but I just like when I travel a lot, but when I'm not traveling, I'm a homebody and I love being at the college.
I hear you, man. You travel the world. That's like the coolest thing about that. I feel like we're at a good time in our lovely podcast discussion, especially knowing that he's in public to play our first game, which is a new game here for Rosebud's Nation. It's called Date Card Dilemma. So,
date card dilemma.
Jesus Christ, date card dilemma. All right, so I got some scenarios.
Okay.
Yeah, date card dilemma. So I got some scenarios here about potential first dates, bad scenarios. Basically, they're would you rathers. First of all, Chris, are you on the market? Are you single? What's the deal right now?
Say that last one. Am I on the market right now?
Yeah,
I'm on the market.
You're on the market? Yeah. All right, cool. Good. Then this
ladies,
will apply.
Listen up.
Nice one. All right, so basically they're would-you-rathers for dating. So we'll go around the circle and just talk about it.
All right.
Date card dilemma. Brought to you by the Rosebuds Nation. All right, Lynn, this kind of first one really only applies to you because you're a female. Do you see? Have you been reading them?
I haven't.
Oh, good. All right, flip the paper over so you don't see them. All right, first date card dilemma with Chris and Lynn. Lynn, would you rather your date try to make a smooth move and touch your boob or tell you all about their ex on the entire first date?
Boob.
Ooh, boob grab.
Yeah.
You're going for the boob grab.
Well, smooth move means like a boob brush.
Smooth move. This could be Chris's move because that was his name on the Globetrotters.
That's what it was. Yeah, it was smooth.
Smooth, I hear you. All right, so you're going for like a nice, like, playful boob grab.
Not a grab, a smooth. To me, I interpret that question like a brush against the boob.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
No, I wouldn't want a grab.
I hear you. Chris, how do you feel about that?
Would you want someone to touch your boob, Chris?
Your thoughts on the boob touch.
So she'd rather someone trying to touch her groove on the first date?
Yeah, or they can either do a nice smooth move for her boob or talk about their ex the entire first date.
Yeah, no one wants that. I'd rather someone not talk about their ex the entire first date.
All right, so
we can go for the...
Chris is going for the dong grab if we're going to flip it.
At least she knows what she wants.
There you go. I think I would agree. I would leave. I'd just be like, all right, I'm done. Like, this is over. We're done.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. Yeah, I don't want to hear about your ex at all.
Unless you're on The Bachelor and you have to sit in a house with everyone dating the same girl. Then it's a totally different story.
Oh, yeah. I used to bring that point up all the time. I would say, how do you guys feel that I just went on a date with your girlfriend?
Wait, so do you consider...
Our girlfriend.
I love it. Do you consider Becca your ex-girlfriend?
Do you
consider Becca like your ex-girlfriend?
No, I don't. I don't consider. No one should consider her a girlfriend until the end. Like, no, like, I don't know. I wouldn't consider that because I'm like, look, she's talking to me, but she's going to go on a date tomorrow with somebody else. Like, she gets to date multiple people and I don't. So, no.
Chris, preaching to the...
Not a girlfriend.
I'm really happy with your answer, Chris.
We're all happy. I hate the guys that are like, my ex-girlfriend. I'm like, shut up.
You went home night one.
You were on the goddamn TV show. You made it 2 weeks. Shut up. All right, that was a good one. Date card dilemma number two. What?
I don't like it.
The second one?
Yes. Go ahead. No, do it. Read it.
Okay. Would you rather... All right, Chris, here we go. Would you rather your date ask you to pay for your meal or comment on how much food you can eat?
Oh, I'd rather you pay for my meal. But I would think that's a compliment for most guys. Most guys are always paying. So if you can pay for my meal, I don't care how much you talk about how much I can eat or whatever.
Why don't you like this?
No, I'm just thinking if I'm in the situation, if a guy asked me to pay for my meal, no. And if a guy wanted to talk about how much food I can eat, no. So, like, I don't like either of them.
Got it. Great. That's why we have the female voice.
Yeah.
That's why we need it. Because Chris was right. It's like, either way, it's like a compliment to guys. To females,
girls,
it's like a slap in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah, bitch. All right, good. All right, third one. We got two more here. Would you rather, this is again for girls, would you rather be told that you aren't as pretty in your pictures
As your pictures,
or have your date be so rude that you get thrown out of the restaurant?
You get thrown out of the restaurant?
Yep.
Oh, wow. That has to be super rude.
Yeah.
I'd go for number two.
Really?
Because, like, then, see you never.
See, back when you were young and single, like 40 years ago, that wouldn't have been...
Oh, wow.
You better watch yourself.
That wouldn't have been a big of a deal, but today with phones and Instagram and Barstool, that shit could go viral.
But, like, here's the deal. This isn't, like, my boyfriend. This is just some guy. So, like, that happens. Okay, see you never again.
No, then you're all over the internet.
No, I'm still me. It's just
that
guy being a fool.
You never know what the motive was for being rude in a restaurant. Like, he could be a bad waiter. He just got really upset.
True.
At the waiter, it doesn't mean he's like mad at you or said something to you, but to tell a girl like, that she's not as pretty in her pictures.
Yeah, that's like, that's me. That's on me.
But how do you respond to that?
I'd spit in his face.
Would you? Then you're on the internet either way. Either way, you're on the internet. You just want to be a viral star.
I don't know. I've never had anybody tell me that, so
that's true.
I don't know how I would handle
that's
it.
True. You're so pretty, Lynn. That's so true. That's a good one. I don't know. I don't know if I want to even answer this, but you can probably guess what I would say on that.
Oh my gosh.
All right, this last one, I'm really excited. Again, date card dilemma. I think it's going great with our guy Chris. Calling us from Nordstrom's right now. He's picking out some stuff, then he's heading over to Lowe's. So we'll get an update on his order after this. All right, final date card dilemma. Would you rather at the end of the night your date give you a sloppy, awful kiss or a high five?
Oh, wow. Give me a sloppy, awful kiss. A high five, you will never get a response from me after that high five. Like, it has to be a hug or something, but a high five, that's our last conversation.
I'm dying inside right now. My husband, so we're married, so it worked out
congrats,
well.
Congrats.
Our first, like, happy hour gave me a fist pound.
Shut up.
You didn't know that?
No.
I thought you totally did this to make fun of me.
No. A fist pound?
Yes, Timmy. I just called you out on our podcast.
What's he doing right
now?
Can we call him?
He's putting back in
the yeah. You still haven't forgotten that either. That
oh, no. And we all make fun of him for it all the time.
Wait, but he's the father of your children, so I guess it wasn't
right.
That bad.
Yeah, it worked out.
That's funny.
That is funny. So then it's like fist pound or high five. Well, it's worse.
I mean, they're both the same.
No, no. Fist pound is like the worst.
Fist pound's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm not taking the fist pump.
I hear you. All right, date card dilemma.
But you know what? Maybe that awkwardness creates conversation for the next time you go out, if you go out again.
So if someone did that to me and gave me a high five, I would like think it's the funniest thing in the world.
I would actually
I would actually call her out on it right away.
I was cracking up.
I have to ask about that. Like, hey, what's going on?
Was this at Starbucks?
That has to be going pretty bad for them to give you a fist pump.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe take the message. Hey, dude, you suck. Here's a fist pound. Date card dilemma. I love it.
He has a good story. We'll get him on sometime to tell it about the rationale.
Okay. Fair. All right, Kristen, where are you at now? Where are you at in the mall now?
Where am I in the mall now? I'm actually walking past Champ Sports. Right.
Ooh. Ooh, they have LeBron Lakers jerseys yet?
Oh, yeah, but I'm not wearing a LeBron Lakers jersey. Yeah. They'll probably be giving them out this year at the games. Sure. That first game's going to probably be insane.
It is. I like it. It's like we're with Chris while he's shopping, so we'll get updates. So I have a couple non-bachelor questions for you, if that's all right with you. Changing moods real quick. Dude. You starred in Slamma Jamma, which came out last year. Tell me all about that. That's freaking awesome. First of all, give our listeners kind of a background on what the movie was and like the story behind it.
Yeah, it was great. Hold on one second. No, Jamma was like insane. Like I don't know how I got into the film. Like it was really weird that the director. He gave me a call. I'm randomly just sitting in my room one day, and I get an email to my website, and the guy says he's looking for, like, basketball players in the film. So I end up calling the director personally. He was like, yeah, we've been looking at your videos, and we would love to bring you in for, like, an audition. So I go in for the audition, and it's just, like, a few lines. So I'm just reading a few lines, and I thought I did pretty well. I go back home, I tell my mom, I'm like, hey, I think I might have a part in a movie. And so she's like, that's really good. The next day, the director calls me, like, yeah, you might have booked a role. He's like, you were one of those guys. So I'm like, that's great. Come to find out, those were the main character. I'm thinking I'm just going for an extra. I thought it was like an extra role. And yeah, so it was like the main role. Then he sends me the script, and on the script, out of like over 100 pages, I had like 96 pages that I had lines on. And so It was insane. That's how it started from that point.
That's awesome, and it led you to The Bachelorette. So there we go. It's really taken off.
Yeah. I mean, it opened doors. You know, I mean, slam dunking. That's one thing I love about being out here in LA. Like the slam dunking. It's opened doors to me because I'm just pretty much trying to take it to new levels, and not just slam dunk. I'm trying to join on shows. I've done it in films. I've done it in commercials, and it's creating opportunities that most people have never really seen. Someone trying to take it to that level outside of just doing it as a street dunk or a street performer.
Yeah. No, I mean, the fact that you get to travel the world dunking for a living, I can't think of a better job than that. Honestly, I can't. Like, I mean, that's freaking awesome.
It's good. It's pretty cool. I mean, the fact, yeah, you get to travel and, you know, in different countries, they love basketball just as much as we love it here. I was just out in China, and it's just amazing when you get there and people actually know who you are already. And they, because they've watched you on YouTube or Instagram or whatever, and to see someone like that from so far away who actually watched you, it's inspiring to continue to do it, you know, and that's why I never take it for granted.
Yep. Basketball, that's awesome. Basketball really is a global sport. That's a good point.
But let's, enough about the globe. Let's talk about where we're from. Are you a 76ers fan, Chris?
Am I a 76ers fan?
Yeah.
I like Joel Embiid because he trolls a lot. I think they're pretty good. I'm not the biggest 76ers fan ever since Allen Iverson left, but, you know, they're growing on me.
All right, had to ask. We're from Philly, so.
Trust the process. Represent.
Philly is a good state. Philly's been doing pretty good this year, like as far as the Eagles, the 76ers.
Yeah, that little Super
playoffs.
Bowl.
You know, Meek Mill is out of jail.
Yeah.
So, Philly is doing it.
I was at Beyonce and Jay-Z last night, and I really thought Meek Mill was going to come out.
Yeah.
He didn't.
Oh, that would have been pretty cool. Yeah. I don't think he's at that level yet to be at a Beyonce and Jay-Z concert.
Yeah.
Performance.
I would agree, but in Philly, I feel like it would have been appropriate.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I guess in Philly, you're right.
That's a good point. All right, Chris, we'll let you get to your shopping. We do have one final game that is a Rosebuds Nation icon. We play it with every single person that comes on the show. It's called One Word, One Answer. We run down a list. Of questions and words here, and you go ahead and give us your first gut reaction, the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
Fair?
Fair enough.
All right, here we go. One Word, One Answer with Chris Staples from Becca Season. Here we go. Jordan.
Diva.
Harlem Globetrotters.
Are we talking about Jordan from the show, or are we just talking about Jordan, like, just the word?
No, Jordan from the show. You got it.
Oh, if we're talking about from the show, Diva.
Love it. Go ahead, Lynn.
All right, Harlem Globetrotter.
I would say Magic.
Leo.
Leo. Sarcastic.
Lincoln.
British.
Jason.
I don't know. I don't know what Jason. Jason's kind of, I don't want to say dull. He just, I'm not sure. Pass on that one. Let's come back with Jason.
Connor.
Fitness.
Grocery Store Joe.
Viral.
Dodgeball.
Say that last one again.
Dodgeball.
Becca.
Colton.
He's a showman. He's a showman.
Jean Blanc.
He's confused.
Clay Harbor,
football.
Basketball.
First Staples.
Nice. All right, two more.
Wills,
chef.
Ooh, chef. All right, last one, Becca.
Becca, I think... Bachelorette. I mean, mean, really, Midwest. There's a lot of stuff I can say about Becca. She was cool. She was and silly. She's a very silly person that really doesn't show too much on the season, but she was super silly.
Chris Harrison.
He's also a very sarcastic guy. He was the jokester.
All right, Lynn gave you a bonus one there. Do you want to revisit Jason and amend that at all, or are you good with that?
Okay, no. Jason, I would say, he was smooth.
Smooth, like you. Like you.
Smooth boobs.
Yep, smooth boobs.
Smooth with his work.
There you go. Smooth with his words. You're smooth with your shopping skills. You were smooth on calling in tonight, dunking all over the world. Chris, pleasure to get to know you. Pleasure to talk to you. Hopefully we'll definitely see you on the big screen.
Oh yeah. I hope you find some patio furniture too.
Yeah. Take a picture and let us know what you end up going with. We'll help you pick out some nice furniture for you.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely do that.
There you go. We'll crowdsource Rosebuds Nation. We'll get that going. Do you think you'll think we'll see you in Bachelor Nation again, or maybe kind of elsewhere?
Hopefully you will. I mean, I keep in touch with all the people, and they were cool. So, I mean, there's no reason why I shouldn't be back to, you know, see where my love lies at.
Amen.
All right.
I hear you. All right. Go ahead. Follow him on Instagram at @everybody_hateChris with two S's. Chris Staples from Becca Season. Chris, thanks for joining us tonight. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Chris.
Bye.
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 Hi, I'm Python. I listen to Gross Butt with Mommy and Uncle Eddie.